evening. This is Lou Caverly for the Divided Kingdom. Elizabeth Covert Caverly and I will be bringing you the news you need to know as a 21st century Christian. During Fierce Storm Toby, maybe winter's last blast, March 22nd, 2018, we are still astounded at the news Alex Jones reported Tuesday, March 13th. First, as background for any new listeners, we're hoping for Generation Z to join the millennials and baby boomers and members of the silent generation who already know about us. Elizabeth and I first learned there was a diabolical plan to end American sovereignty and bring in world government's tyranny in the spring of 2001. As we researched President H.W. Bush's words, quote, the New World Order, it's a big idea, unquote, we found it was a big conspiracy. No one agrees on who directly, under Lucifer, runs the NWO, now often referred to as the Deep State. Reliable sources often point to the Jesuit connection. Some say the neo-Nazi Bilderberg Group and the world's royals are in command. Always there is promotion of the demon ethic of the quote-unquote Zionists, as the so-called Pastor Baldwin, Chuck Baldwin, states in a recent article, the quote, Jewish Mafia. Baldwin's newer article also has an in-depth exposure of Melania Trump's past participation in a Howard Stern interview. Elizabeth?
Yes, Lou. I think this is so sad that so-called Pastor Chuck Baldwin has taken the low road of lurid yellow journalism that has the effect of demeaning and disrespecting our elegant First Lady, Melania Trump. I think Melania is a beautiful and dedicated mother to Barron. For Chuck Baldwin to go digging up and publicizing these past events like the Howard Stern interview, I think Jesus showed what he thought very well when he told the vicious crowd ready to throw the stones that the man without sin should cast the first stone. Melania Trump, in my view, is probably a much more sincere person than Jackie Kennedy ever was. Shame on Baldwin's cowardly use of Melania to rip at Trump.
Yes, Elizabeth, I fully agree. And back to who runs this new world order. Men like Baldwin, Stephen Anderson, and Tex Mars, now said to be retired, blame the source of globalist power as being the Jews. Terms like Zionist Jews accompany their replacement theology views that maintain God got so fed up with his chosen people, he took away his covenant with them and gave it to Christians as a new covenant. To make matters worse, the underbelly of shameful Holocaust denial often accompanies this view. A view Captain Daryl Eberhardt's research certainly shows is more likely to be Jesuits cleverly using mockingbird media techniques to scapegoat the, quote, Zionist Jews as the perpetrators of the global one-world order tyranny plan. In our archives is a vital program outlining Jesuit-fomented wars and revolutions throughout history. Go to thedividedkingdom.org to visit our archives. There, you can also hear the strong warnings of clandestine radical Islam being brought into America on many of the March of 2018 programs. Now there is breaking news, isn't there, Elizabeth?
Yes, and Lou, thank you for directing people to our website, thedividedkingdom.org. And I believe that particularly March the 1st and March the 8th and possibly the 15th, we had some very important information about Mr. Gulen, that radical Islamic person who's holed up in the Pennsylvania hills there in Salersburg with a big military compound. If you don't know about the radical Islam being brought in to Pennsylvania and other places rather clandestinely, you need to find out. And also, you can hear us on Liberty Works Radio Network, that is LWRN.net. Again, that's LWRN.net, on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating 11 p.m. Eastern Time, LWRN.net, and there's an app for your smartphone, or you can listen online. And also, we always like to thank Global Star Communications for producing our program, and we thank WWCR. You can hear us on WWCR.com Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and if you have a shortwave radio, you ought to all have a shortwave radio for times in the future, I think. You can hear us on 4.840 megahertz, and that is, again, on Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, to reply to Lou, yes, on Tuesday, March 13th, Alex Jones first reported that on that day, Georgetown University's law department filed a lawsuit trying to stop the First Amendment rights of Alex Jones and InfoWars, also journalist Lee Stranahan and former Marine and African-American commentator of conservative issues, Alan West. The lawsuit brought by the taxpayer-supported law department of Georgetown University says that Alex Jones believes in an, quote, imaginary deep state. Alex comments, ironically, that he learned of this deep state or New World Order through the Jesuit institution, Georgetown's professor, Carol Quigley, who wrote extensively about the coming plan for global government control in his mammoth-sized book, Tragedy and Hope. Lou and I have that book, but we have never gotten the time to really pick that up and really go through that. The lawsuit, Jones says, also claims he said there were crisis actors in the Parkland school shooting. I personally heard the actual clips on Alex's show as some of the Parkland students were interviewed describing hearing multiple shooters. One of them, named Alexa, I believe, was walking along and actually talked to Nikki Cruz, but she heard other shooting going on. A climate to deny opposition to New World Order and radical Islam takeover is there, even in England, too. Talk show host Michael Savage is banned from going to Britain. Did you ever hear of such a thing, Lou?
I certainly never did. That seems like they must think he's pretty true if they're that scared of hearing him.
Yes, that's right. We have to fear the truth, don't we? But God will bring out, he will shine the light of truth on every evil that's hidden. Brittany Pettibone, who wanted to interview Britain's anti-radical Islam advocate, Tommy Robinson, what a great guy. We've talked about him and we've heard him. She was thwarted from going there. She was kept in prison for 3 days. Now, Lou, that's getting a little more serious. We can see now the threats of all of these Antifa people, these George Soros backed people, George Soros, who helped turn in his fellow Jews during the Holocaust. And I guess his son Alexander is continuing this kind of a plan to bring in the radical Muslims and to destroy Europe. So we have Laura Southern. She also was accused of racism for her criticism of Islam. Brittany made the statement on InfoWars, if they don't control the narrative, they don't control the people. And that's one reason Lou and I are faithfully being God's watchmen on air here, because a lot of people who trust in the mainstream media will never hear the truth. They will never hear what we told you about that deputy sheriff who worked under Sheriff Israel down there in Broward County, Florida. We told you about the radical Islam connections. How many things are a plot, you see, to take over and to weaken America so the global government can come in? That's what we really have to ask. And in France, this thing is really globally happening, that people are beginning to stand up. People don't want their narrative controlled. Marine Le Pen is facing prison time for her stand against radical Islam, the invasion of immigrants into Europe. Lou, you mentioned various groups of people suspected of running the New World Order. Secret societies, including Freemasonry and Skull and Bones, are often mentioned as playing a role. In the late 19th century, Masonic head Albert Pike in America corresponded with his Italian counterpart, Mazzini, and their letters spoke of the goal of a Third World War one day in which the clash of Christian civilization with Islam's would occur, and each would destroy the other, and out of the ashes would arise, like the phoenix, the godless New World Order. Madame Blavatsky, in her books and in her religion, Theosophy, this was really like the beginning of the New Age, the inception of that, she remarked, and most of her work, like her successors, like Annie Besant and the others, they were channeled from the Ascended Masters. So we believe this is very demonic, right from Satan himself, his voice to her ear. She remarked that in this new global order, two groups would have to be purged, Christians and Jews. Now, I think this is very interesting because to those misguided people who are clinging to the Holocaust denial and who are saying that everything is run by the Jews and they have believed that the protocols of the Elders of Zion were really written by Jews when there's a lot of evidence that it came from the Jesuit order, and the Illuminati, the secret society that was formed by Adam Weishaupt, he was a Jesuit, and he supposedly left and formed the Illuminati, but is that just a cover for ongoing Jesuit activities? So, Lou, we're seeing an unusual coalition now with both the Women's March leftists and the radical Islamist hatred for Jews. And we want to point out that one person mentioned, Linda Sarsour, we've heard all about her on InfoWars. Her mother is a big advocate of the genital mutilation that the Islamic religion promotes, that wonderful thing that disfigures and cripples women, horrible thing, barbaric. And I believe some of her relatives are in prison. But anyway, she's the kind of figure that these women, these pussy march women, want to look up to, these women who love abortion. So let's find out a little more about the links to Farrakhan.
Women's March under fire over links to Nation of Islam's Louis Farrakhan and anti-Semitism. From The Washington Times, March 7th, 2018. Progressives who have never quite cut the cord with Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, despite his anti-Semitic rants, are suddenly paying the price, starting with the Women's March leaders. Calls for Women's March president Tamika D. Mallory to resign erupted after she attended a February 25th speech in Chicago, at which Mr. Farrakhan railed against, quote, the satanic Jew, unquote, saying, quote, powerful Jews are my enemy, unquote, while singling her out for recognition. Also coming under scrutiny is Democratic National Committee Deputy Chair Keith Ellison, who acknowledged last month that they attended a 2013 dinner together with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. Quote, Keith Ellison used to be a member of Nation of Islam and a Farrakhan supporter. Recently, it was disclosed that Ellison had met Farrakhan long after the relationship supposedly ended, said Mr. Jacobson. Some members of the Congressional Black Caucus also have associated with Farrakhan. So clearly, Farrakhan is a progressive movement problem, not just a Women's March problem, unquote. The left's troubles with anti-Semitism can be traced to the advent of the intersectionality movement, which holds that all oppressed peoples are interconnected and includes Palestinians, leaving progressives who support Israel stuck in a political no-man's land. Hence, events such as last year's Chicago Slut Walk and Chicago Dyke March, which banned Zionist displays, and that's in quotes, such as Stars of David, and threatened to remove those who brought them. The Dyke March reportedly did eject several Jewish marchers. The Women's March drew criticism last year when Palestinian terrorist Razmir Oder, who was convicted in a 1970 bombing that killed two Hebrew university students, was listed as an organizer of the Day Without a Woman international strike. Ms. Sarsour, a supporter of the anti-Israel boycott, divest and sanctions movement, hugged and praised Oder at an appearance in Chicago before she was deported in September for lying on her visa application about her criminal record. Said liberal columnist Susan Shapiro, in a Wednesday op-ed in the New York Daily News, headline Liberal Feminist for Farrakhan, quote, yet now Mallory, Perez, and Sarsour have invented a brand of intersectionality that includes the Nation of Islam and thus excludes Jewish people, unquote. Ms. Sarsour reportedly spoke at a Nation of Islam event 3 years ago, while Ms. Perez posted a photo on Instagram in which she and Ms. Mallory held hands with a Nation of Islam leader at a 2015 Chicago event, calling it an, quote, unforgettable special event, unquote.
strange bedfellows in these times, but they have one goal, and the Weathermen are in there too. They've aged out into the universities, and so they are inculcating all of our youth with this idea of Marxism and overthrow of the America that we have always loved. Now, why is Trump a nationalist? Well, Newt Gingrich once commented he didn't go through the initiation. This implies that Trump is not in full-fledged bondage to any of these secret societies, like the Skull and Bones, like the Freemasonry. Recall how John Kerry smirked in an interview with the late journalist Tim Russert about their secret Skull and Bones connection. Russert passed on at an untimely age a few years later. To the Puritans and many other major Protestant church leaders of the past, the message of Daniel and Revelation, along with the earlier historical killing of 60 million by the Roman Catholic Church during the Inquisition, made it clear the future Antichrist would come from Rome. This, not the, quote, Zionist Jews, would be the tribulation force that, according to Revelation, beheads Christians. Alex Jones comments, Georgetown University was founded by the Vatican. Pope Francis was the former head of the Jesuits. The Jesuits are the left arm of the CIA New World Order. And we know that even some Roman Catholics are upset with the changes in doctrine by this pope. And we know that it's unheard of to have a former pope there. Alex Jones has commented, is he almost under a house arrest living there in Rome? Lou and I are seeing what could be the setup also, starting for the Mark of the Beast, when Christians will be prohibited from buying and selling. And, you know, I said to him as we drove along there the other day, I said there was a time when I thought maybe that was just an allegory, that maybe there's really nothing really too much there in Revelation. We would just die and meet our Maker, and Jesus would judge us. We'd go to heaven or hell. But we heard the words of Catherine Albrecht, that political commentator on GCN, when she talked about living in the Midwest, I believe it as a young girl, and her grandmother instructed her about the time when the mark of the beast would come. Her grandmother was a wonderful Christian lady, and she said, whatever you do, don't take the mark. So Catherine wrote a book for children telling them not to take the mark. And so it's looking to us like it's much more credible that Revelation is going to occur. There's a terrific consolidation of buying and selling power going on. Brick-and-mortar stores everywhere, grocery stores, they're closing. A retailer I talked to last week, and what a wonderful conversation I had with her. She said Amazon is taking over the world. She once had a food store of all kinds of good natural foods, but no longer does she have that store. And now I think we have to think about this latest headline, Toys R Us closing ends 30,000 jobs, stuns toy makers. The demise of Toys R Us, this was Friday, March 16th, AP, will have a ripple effect on everything from toy makers to consumers to landlords. The 70-year-old retailer is headed towards shuttering its U.S. operations, jeopardizing the jobs of some 30,000 employees while spelling the end for a chain known to generations of children and parents for its sprawling stores and Jeffrey the giraffe mascot. The closing of the company's 740 U.S. stores over the coming months will finalize the downfall of the chain that succumbed to heavy debt and relentless trends that undercut its business from online shopping to mobile games. And we could cite many other stores. But you see, the old landmarks that Al Cuppet, the military man on this program, told us, the Bible says we're not to remove these old landmarks. We're not to start cremating people. You heard us on a repeat program talk about some old dear friends who visited with Marion in the backseat of their car. Their dear friend, they had mentioned us for years, knowing her, and we were just aghast at the kind of, quote, humor of Marion in the backseat. They were taking her to the sea, the ocean up in New England, where they could spread her ashes out. No, what kind of a country are we? We're not too far from the countries who have legalized euthanasia everywhere. But we still come on the radio to tell you there's hope through prayer. And we do need your help, and we do thank a person in Cambria County, Pennsylvania, for her second contribution. I say her, it might be him, but we do know that person has requested prayer, and we have been praying. And we know that those of us who will stand true and say that the King James Version of the Bible does not remove the divinity of Jesus, and will stand true in the other ways, that we will not permit the apostasy of there being no heaven or hell in some of these emerging church pastors' lectures. We will stand against it, but we will be assaulted. Lou and I had a terrific, and it wasn't fun. I don't mean terrific in that sense. I mean it was formidable, satanic attack over the weekend. But you know, we know now, as a couple, sometimes it comes individually to us, sometimes as a couple, we know that this is Satan, and we pray, and God helps us, and he helps us see why these vicious attacks are there. Satan is really like Google and Facebook, all of those reps who said, get rid of Alex Jones. Satan really wants to thwart any true voice that is witnessing for God and for Jesus Christ. And so we really will not give up, and we trust in him. He has been faithful to us all of our lives, and we want the young people who hear us, if there is anybody from Generation Z, and if there is, tell your friends to go to lwrn.net on Mondays, either at 5 p.m. or repeating at 11 p.m., and click on the app for The Divided Kingdom, and they can hear us. They can begin to learn. Lou and I knew nothing about all of this. We really were just, going along thinking America was always the same. It had never changed till God opened our eyes in the year 2000. And then by the time the inside job came on September 11, 2001, we knew. Even though we see all this dissolution and things happening around us, things are tightening, and we do urge all of you to prepare with food. Prepare. Think about survival. Be stocked up. But most of all, we urge you to pray to God to hold back the timetable. Lou and I have many Jewish friends, and we know the Bible is true. Jeremiah 32:40 makes it clear there's an everlasting covenant with God. These are the chosen people, according to God's word, the Jewish people. And he brought them back from all the isles, just like the Bible said. We might not agree with everything in the political state, certainly not all of the Tel Aviv gay parades and so forth and so on, but there are some Jewish people who love the Old Testament. They're not all hooked up with the Kabbalah and the Talmud. They believe in the Torah. The ones who really are faithful to God in that covenant, he's not going to abandon them. He has some plan that he's working out eternally with them, and it's not fully complete. We also have many Roman Catholic friends. One, a husband of my dearest childhood friend, said of the Inquisition, looking straight into my eyes, well, I didn't do that, and I knew he wouldn't do something like that. We hope and pray that such a time has passed, but without faith in Jesus and without Jesus' love in our heart, something like an Inquisition could come again. But you see, the American Roman Catholics are not like the Vatican. We can't say they're synonymous with each other. There are Roman Catholics who are wonderful Americans and love American freedom, and they do not want the changes of Vatican II and all of that. Lou and I could never become Roman Catholics full-fledged because we cannot worship Mary, but we can understand that they respect her, and we could not go along with some of the Catechism, I believe it was from 1994, that we can all be en route to becoming little gods. That's a lot like the Mormons. But you see, in looking at individual people, individual Roman Catholics, we believe they can be saved because only God looks at our deepest heart. If he is their Savior, why couldn't he be? Lou and I have talked about how we can get so mixed up with so many doctrines, pre-trib, post-trib, and these things are not going to be why Jesus saves us. It is if we have repented of our sins and we've turned to him and we asked him to be our personal Savior, and from then on, he saves us. We don't do it ourselves. Some people, the Bible says, are brought to Jesus from God. Now, that gives you a lot of thought, doesn't it? Who are those people brought from God under the Old Testament covenant to Jesus? And then the vice versa is true. Jesus said he brings some to God. It's a mystery, and it's far beyond our human comprehension. And I, for one, do not want to be making these self-righteous comments, so-and-so is saved, so-and-so isn't saved. Isn't that absurdly stupid? Of the little kind of beings that we are, only God knows. But Lou and I are so hopeful that all of you Christians and patriots who love America will pray to God for us to keep our liberty longer, despite the America sins that are so deep, the American sins, I should say, that are so deep, the continuing abortion and the legalized same-sex marriage. But it is our duty as watchmen to reveal the truth. What about the Vatican, Lou, the latest news?
Pope Francis has jeopardized his morals. This is from Time magazine in February. And this is by Christopher J. Hale, who is a political strategist who helped lead Catholic outreach for President Obama. And he's a co-founder of the Catholic blog Millennial. On February 5th, it came to light that Pope Francis received an 8-page letter in 2015 from a Chilean man, Juan Carlos Cruz, detailing how a priest sexually abused him, and how other priests concealed the crime. Among them, then-Father Juan Barros, a man Francis had just months earlier appointed to be the Bishop of Osorno, Chile. This revelation comes weeks after Francis called accusations against Barros calumny. He eventually walked back his claims and sent a Vatican special prosecutor to Chile to investigate the allegations of a cover-up. But Francis received the letter by hand from Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley, one of the church's top-ranking officials. That he either did not read the letter or did not act on it is a stunning development that represents the biggest crisis of Francis's nearly 5-year papacy. Francis's surprise 2013 election came on the heels of a 4-minute speech he gave before the conclave in which he decried the church's vanity. He said, quote, "When the church is self-referential, inadvertently, she believes she has her own light," unquote. Francis called this the worst evil that could befall the church, and his ascendance served as a rebuke of that self-regard. He was expected to reform the church. In his letter to the Pope, Cruz wrote, quote, "Holy Father, I am writing you this letter because I'm tired of fighting, of crying and suffering," unquote. In the gospel, Jesus tells us God's worst punishment is reserved for those who would harm children. In the Catholic tradition, the Pope is the vicar of Jesus Christ. He acts and ministers in Christ's name. If that is truly the case, then Francis must end this scandal now. He must apologize to the victims. He must investigate the claims, and he must transform the church, as he said he would. And now we have an excerpt from Male Prostitution Big Business at the Vatican, from pulpitandpen.org, March 6, 2016. The world is shocked upon hearing that there is a seedy world of priests at the Vatican who pay for sex with other males. But given the history of the Roman Catholic Church and its tragic celibacy policy, homosexuality, pedophilia, and even bestiality are all too common among the priesthood. Forbidding to marry or to engage in the holy sexual union of marriage is a sign of works righteousness, and pagan religion. See 1 Timothy 4:3. The consequences of demanding celibacy have been terrible and are regularly read about in the daily newspaper. A male escort named Francisco Maggiocapra compiled a 1,200-page dossier identifying more than 34 actively gay priests and 6 gay seminarians at the Vatican. How did he know who they were? Personal experience. Cardinal Crescenzio Sippi of the Archdiocese of Naples forwarded the dossier to the Vatican, even though none of the priests identified were in Naples, because he felt that the corruption near and in the Vatican City should be exposed. The dossier compiled by the male prostitute mostly contains conversations and evidence produced by gay hookup apps like WhatsApp, Grindr, Telegram, and so on, where the priest would arrange for sexual encounters with the gigolo. Information provided from social media platforms like Facebook was provided as well. A book was printed on the subject of the gay priest subculture of the Vatican last March, but it was largely ignored by the Romanists. So then the male prostitute compiled the raw data into the dossier and began to send it to the people whom he felt would expose it. He did so, he says, because he could no longer stand the hypocrisy of the church. Just as it is in America, the religious press wouldn't publish the material because it would be viewed as damning, and so the secular press had to do it for them. When Pope Francis argued that the Romanist Church should be more welcoming to homosexuals, it seems that it was an unnecessary gesture. See, Jonathan Merritt, this Vatican advisor, and this is a quote, a title, this Vatican advisor is moving Catholics toward LGBT inclusion. That's in religiousnews.com, June 6, 2017.
We're going to have to watch this story quite a bit, but again, you will want to go into our archives, and you can see some interviews with Captain Daryl Eberhard on the Jesuit Connection. And now we move to the second major topic tonight, and that is the culture of death, the continuing killing of the babies. And we know that this is the most abhorrent sin, I believe, to the Heavenly Father and to Jesus. And let's hear about Cecile Richards leaving with her big takeout.
3.5 million people dead because of Cecile Richards. The following is excerpted from 3.5 million, Daily Wire, January 26, 2018. Planned Parenthood's chief maniacal ghoul has apparently sated her ravenous appetite for snuffing out innocent, incipient human life. Cecile Richards confirmed on Friday that she will resign from the largest abortion mill in the nation, explaining, quote, leading Planned Parenthood over the last 12 years has been the honor of my lifetime. I will be leaving the organization well-positioned to serve and fight for our patients for a century more, unquote. The honor of Cecile's lifetime has entailed depriving over 3.5 million human beings of their own lifetimes, and Richards walks away well-positioned herself, having earned nearly $700,000 in salary for just the 2015-2016 fiscal year alone. Democrats in the mainstream media, but I repeat myself, have repeatedly claimed during Richards' tenure that 97% of Planned Parenthood's work is, quote, about mammograms and preventive health, unquote, despite the absence of mammograms at any Planned Parenthood facility. In reality, a full 96% of Planned Parenthood's work relates to abortion, funded by taxpayers to the tune of $528 million, slightly over 40% of the abortion mill's annual budget. Former abortionists and abortion activists constitute some of the most vocal pro-life advocates, such as Abby Johnson, Paul E. Jarrett, Brenda Pratt Schaefer, and Bernard Nathanson, among others. Nathanson has admitted that he and his fellow National Abortion Rights Action League co-founders made up scare statistics about women dying from illegal abortions before Roe v. Wade out of whole cloth. Jarrett powerfully testified, quote, as I brought out the ribcage, I looked and I saw a tiny beating heart. And when I found the head of the baby, I looked squarely in the face of another human being, a human being that I just killed. I turned to the scrub nurse and said, I'm sorry, but I just knew that I couldn't be a part of abortion anymore, unquote.
Well, perhaps there'll be a replacement, Lou, in a few years, able to fill the stained shoes of Cecile Richards and command Planned Parenthood. And the scary part is that some of these young people, gripped by unimaginable spirits of evil, satanic, murderous hatred, they aren't even products of Gulen. And remember, he's the guy in Pennsylvania who has the military compound. And he also has all these chains of schools, these science academies, Horizon and Lisa and all of these others, many of them in Texas, many of them in other states. These young people, this would be Generation Z. They aren't products of any of that. They aren't really Antifa. They're simply the result of living churches and churchmen who expired in America spiritually into apathy and indifference and heresy. What did it matter when prayer left the public schools? Silence from the churches of that time. Silence from the pastors. What did it matter when Roe v. Wade took over? Was there a momentous disapproval out of the churches? Silence. Silence. Churches were silent, and when same marriage was legalized, same-sex marriage, again, some even went further than silence. They began promoting gay clergy. Since David DeLeiden's whistleblowing videos of the abortion industry selling the parts of the little babies after they're torn apart, it hasn't brought overwhelming cries for repentance in America. We hear from the churches mostly silence. Hence, what do people turn to? Why, they turn to Hollywood, to the celebrity satanic culture. It rules in the hearts of many people, like the Teen Vogue writer here, Lauren Duca. And she ripped, quote, evil Reverend Billy Graham. Have fun in hell. And as we're going to mention right now, it is a mixed portrait. We said that before. We admire Franklin Graham very, very much. We think he is just true blue. He has all the courage in the world. And we know that Billy Graham was criticized many times for his ecumenical, shall we say, softness. For instance, when he stood outside of the shrine of the Black Madonna of Jasnagora in Czechoslovakia, I don't think that's correct. I'm not pronouncing that right. It's a town in Poland. In 1979, with a Catholic bishop, and greeted the pilgrims who were venerating Mary as the sinless Queen of Heaven and interceder for sinners. That was reported in Way of Life, March 9th. So that was some confusion for a Baptist minister to be there doing that. And there were other things in which he was doing things that may contribute to building the one world church. And we've talked before about the heresy in the new Bible versions, and I believe his organization used them too, because the divinity of Jesus is often removed in the NIV and some of the other translations. Eugene Peterson, author of The Message, promotes homosexuality actively, so that we were confirmed in this idea that perhaps Franklin Graham was cut from a different cloth because, again, Time Magazine, March 12th, 2018, had an article, A House Divided. Billy Graham's death reveals rifts in his family, Evangelicalism in America, by Elizabeth Diaz. And the article says that Franklin voluntarily brought up Trump more than any other Republican candidate. He called for a ban on Muslim immigration 6 months before Trump did, and criticized people who demonized the police in protests over racial bias. Well, we say right on to all that. Now, this is interesting here. They interviewed Ann Graham Lotz, his sister, whom many have said was equal to Billy as a speaker. Not all of Billy's followers respond to such rhetoric. Lotz said during the campaign that she did not think her father would have done her brother's Get Out the Vote tour, and she raised her concerns to both Franklin and the BGEA, that's the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association Board, on which she also serves. But like her father, Lotz is diplomatic, and she believes God is using her brother. Now, what is interesting is the reductionism here. This wasn't just Get Out the Vote, that tour. It was called Decision America. And we saw many, many photos of Franklin and thousands of people in state after state on their knees, or at least bending over, praying, repenting, pleading with God for more time for America. So Time Magazine says the difference between father, son, and daughter says as much about the changing nature of the U.S. as it does about the Graham family. We can leave it at that, and we can know that God will judge Billy Graham's work and his heart. We do not need to do that, but we can look at this celebrity culture, this result of the apathetic churches and no meaning coming out of them for the youth. Teen Vogue's Lauren Duca rips evil Reverend Billy Graham. Have fun in hell. And this was February 22nd, 2018, Fox News. A controversial Teen Vogue columnist known for lobbying verbal bombs has topped herself with an especially vile tweet about beloved evangelist Billy Graham, who died Wednesday at 99. The big news today is that Billy Graham was still alive this whole time. Anyway, have fun in hell, B.I. blank H, Lauren Duca tweeted. Duca went on to say, respecting the dead only applies to people who weren't evil pieces of SH blank T while they were living. Duca gained national prominence by sparring with Tucker Carlson on Fox News in the late 2016 and has since made donations to Planned Parenthood in Carlson's name. She has been outspoken about her disdain for President Trump and once tweeted a letter that Hillary Clinton reportedly sent her for showing courage and poise on the Internet. Every time we mention Duca on this show, she gets more and more famous and more revered on the left. Maybe next week she'll be honored by the Pope and the Dalai Lama. If we mock that, she could get the Nobel Prize for Literature, Carlson said on his show last June. So we get the picture there of the insidious kind of satanic hatred that's now taking over in our whole society. But God, you see, is still at work. And we have some voices now starting to come out. If the churches won't talk, we have others who are struggling to bring things out. We have a headline, Fetal Tissue Firms and Undercover Pro-Life Investigation Shutter After $7.8 Million Settlement by Bradford Richardson, The Washington Times. This was December 12, 2017. Two biomedical firms named in the Center for Medical Progress investigation into the sale of fetal tissue from abortions are shutting down after reaching a $7.8 million settlement with the Orange County District Attorney's Office. As part of the settlement, DV Biologics, LLC, and sister company, Da Vinci Biosciences, LLC, were ordered to cease all operations in California within 60 to 120 days and admit liability for unlawfully selling fetal tissue and cells for profit. So these companies will never be able to operate again in Orange County or the state of California, is this statement. So that's a good thing. That's still not getting to the truest heart of the matter, but we want to hear a little bit more about this. Prosecutors opened the investigation into the fetal tissue companies in 2015 after undercover videos released by the Center for Medical Progress showed top Planned Parenthood executives and others in the abortion industry discussing the market for the human remains from abortions. David DeLeiden, CMP project lead, praised prosecutors for shuttering the biomedical firms and called on them to investigate Planned Parenthood's role in the operation. The Da Vinci Company's admission of guilt for selling baby parts from Planned Parenthood is a ringing vindication, of CMP's citizen journalism methods and accuracy, Mr. DeLeiden said in a statement. In light of the news that Planned Parenthood is now under federal investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice for the sale of fetal body parts, the next step is for Planned Parenthood of Orange and San Bernardino counties to be held accountable under the law for their seven-year-long aiding, abetting, and profiting in Da Vinci's criminal scheme to sell baby parts for profit. And we know a lot about this before. We've heard about these prices, these catalogs of products. Lou, tell us some of those horrible details.
Products derived from fetal lungs ranged in price from $300 to $375. Fetal kidney products from $300 to $450. Fetal heart derived products from $500 to $750. And fetal liver derived products from $250 to $700. The companies tripled their sales revenue between 2009 and 2011, and by 2012, they had more than 500 products in inventory, quote, with some 13,900 units available, unquote, for sale. They grossed more than $400,000 in revenue in both 2013 and 2014, and more than $550,000 in 2015. The biomedical firms unlawfully sold products derived from fetal tissue and cells to buyers in Japan, China, Singapore, Korea, Germany, Switzerland, Spain, Australia, the Netherlands, Canada, and the United Kingdom. The district attorney's office uncovered company emails discussing raising the price of prenatal renal fibroblasts from $350 to $375 per vial, stating, quote, 1,000% gross does not seem unreasonable based on infrastructure and lack of competition, unquote. The market can handle a higher price than we will go with that since we will be giving discounts to the distributors, the email conversation continued. By 2015, the list price for prenatal renal fibroblasts was set at $450. Last month, the FBI requested unredacted documents from the Senate Judiciary Committee's probe into Planned Parenthood's practice of transferring fetal tissue from abortions to biomedical firms like Da Vinci Biosciences and DV Biologics. Planned Parenthood has denied that it profited off of the human remains from abortions and said any costs associated with that transfer would recoup storages and other costs.
Way of Life, January 31st, 2014, reported more Americans killed by abortion in 1 year than in all of its wars. Nearly as many Americans died at the hands of abortionists in 2008 than have died in all of America's wars combined. The total deaths from all U.S. wars is 1.34 million. That came from StatisticsBrain.com. The number of abortions in 2008 was 1.21 million, and that was down from 1.36 million in 1996. It has been estimated that 44 million abortions occur worldwide each year. And, you know, we've talked before, people in the New Age, which I believed in some of those theories along with Christianity, I was misled by Edgar Cayce, who was a psychic. And years later, I discovered that he was espousing the Freemasonry ideals. So the evil is always in there. Just a little bit of leaven makes it really, really bad. But at any rate, we know that it's important that what he might have called karma, we say biblically, is you sow something and then you reap it. You reap what you sow. So when we sent our troops into Afghanistan and we had the clandestine opium fields being manned by some of our soldiers, yes, our American soldiers, and the late sports figure Pat Tillman was going to come back and tell the truth, but so-called friendly fire, oops, we are so sorry, he was taken out before he could do it. So we think that the boomerang back is all of the opioid deaths, the heroin, the young people dying of the heroin, the addiction. It's so terrible. And now, killing of these babies, selling the parts, is it any wonder that Toys R Us is closing? I think not. And it makes us want to weep because God Almighty could never countenance slavery. He couldn't let that be. And we know there's still slavery in the Muslim countries. We know, too, that the New World Order has the pedophile ring globally. Children are harmed. Babies are harmed. They're in cages. They're harmed. They're terribly harmed. God will not let this go on forever. We will shine the light of truth. But we know that your prayers mean a lot, and God is listening. And if you can pray with authority that God will bring out the truth about all of these things, we can have a reawakening in America. We can have repentance. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a renewal? And if you would like to write to us, write to Lou, L-O-U, Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And we thank the few of you who have contributed to us. You can just put a little cash in an envelope and mail it, a few coins. Some postage stamps are very useful to us. And you can write a check, but not to us directly. You can write a check to WWCR for the Divided Kingdom. Again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we're not pompous because we know we're human beings. Only God knows all of the truth about anything. But we do know when things are blatantly evil, like Holocaust denial, like killing the babies. And some of the elite voices, the more intelligent elite, are really beginning to wake up. We may not have time today to bring up George F. Will. I've hardly ever agreed with any of his one-world globalist CFR columns, but there are three lately. One is we ought to get out of Afghanistan. What's the good of that long-running war? And there are two that pertain to abortion. And he himself has a son with Down syndrome. So the idea of, I believe it is Finland, is it not, that is killing off all of the children? It's Iceland. Pardon me. I don't want to malign Finland. Iceland is killing off the Down syndrome children. But there's a large percentage here. I think it's 68% of the women will get rid of these children here in America, too. So all of this sin, you see, is filling the cup, filling the cup. Where will you stand? Are you going to be on the side of God? We really must get into a little bit more about the abortion. And here Lou has something neat from Lessons from Prenatal Surgery.
The New York Times recently reported on a prenatal surgery to repair a defect called spinal bifida. The spinal column doesn't close properly. Doctors had urged the parents, Lexi and Joshua Royer, to abort the baby, citing the likelihood of a decreased quality of life. Instead, they opted for prenatal surgery. During the three-hour procedure, the doctor opened Mrs. Royer's abdomen, eased the uterus out of her body, inserted a fetoscope and surgical tools through slits, and operated on the 24-week-old. The amniotic fluid was drained and carbon dioxide inserted to keep the uterus expanded, allowing the surgeon to see better and cauterize tissue. There are many lessons that can be drawn from this event. First, we commend the Royers for not aborting their baby. The Bible teaches that God is the author of conception. See Genesis 29:31, 30:22, and Ruth 4:13. And he, that is God, forms the baby in the womb, Psalm 139. Second, the mother's willingness to risk her life for the baby's well-being, an act of selfless love, reminds us that we are made in God's image and retain a semblance of that image, although fallen. One of the doctors assisting with the surgery observed that, quote, fetal surgery is one of the few operations with a 200% risk of mortality, unquote. Third, modern medical technology itself is evidence that man is made in God's image and is not part of the animal kingdom. Fourth, belief in God gives people a different and better perspective on life. Mrs. Royer's mother said that even though they know that the baby will probably have some degree of disability, quote, we are strong believers in God and we're at peace. This baby is going to be so loved, we just don't care. And that's reporting from the operating room as doctors perform fetal surgery, the New York Times, October 24th, 2017.
Fox News had a report from Joy Villa, Why I Choose Life Over Abortion, The Incredible Journey That Began For Me at 20, published January 31st, 2018. If we don't get all of this today, we'll try to pick it up again. My statement for the 60th Grammys is Choose Life. I believe in loving the child and the mother, and I am proudly pro-life without any judgment to those who choose otherwise. Why did I wear a fetus surrounded by a brightly colored womb on my dress and a purse with Choose Life to the 60th Grammy Awards? I am pro-life. 10 years ago, my life was shattered. I couldn't stop crying. I had a beautiful baby growing inside of me. For many women, becoming pregnant is a dream come true, but I was overcome with guilt, agony, and shame. I was penniless, far from home, and trapped in an abusive, toxic relationship with a man who had become a shadow of what he once was. At 19, I fell in love with an older man who was very kind-hearted with a good heart, but once he began using drugs, our relationship quickly became a nightmare. The same arms that once held and protected me were weaponized. Night after night, I'd hide in a corner, terrified of being beaten. I didn't know who to turn to. When you're young and vulnerable, sometimes your mind plays tricks on you. I don't deserve happiness. I don't deserve love. This is the best I can do. It pains me to remember how utterly devoid of value I felt at the time. But I truly believed that I deserved to be abandoned, forgotten, and punished. I thought, this must be my fault, so I have to stay and try to fix this. After a contraceptive failed, I became pregnant at age 20. After testing positive at a clinic, the nurse began to pressure me to get an abortion. She told me, we can do it now. It'll make it all go away. I've had several abortions. In fact, all three of my daughters have had several. You are too young to have kids. This is the best choice for you. She had already made my choice for me. I left feeling deflated and heartbroken. I had never considered abortion. I wanted to stay and make things right with the father, to have a real family. But when I was violently thrown against the wall by the baby's father while heavily pregnant, I knew I needed a real solution. My baby deserved so much better. That's when I made the most difficult and important decision of my life. I decided to carry my baby to term and then give her up for adoption to a loving family. I put her life over mine. It wasn't easy. Every day was a struggle. Ask any woman. Pregnancy is extraordinarily difficult, especially without family by your side. But my faith in God and my love for my baby gave me all the strength I needed to survive. I found an adoption agency that helped me every step of the way, including taking care of my day-to-day living expenses. We placed my baby with a loving, caring family in an open adoption, which meant I could still be involved in her life. I have a growing and wonderful relationship with my daughter today, who calls me Mama Joy because of my decision to choose life. Adoption gave this terrified young girl the greatest gift of her life, a second chance, a chance to do the right thing, a chance at healing, a chance to be a mom. To celebrate my beautiful daughter, I hand-painted my Pronovious Grammy's gown with a recreation of her sonogram when I was 8 months pregnant. Today, I have chosen to platform to encourage women to think for themselves and gather all the information before making their own decision. Having life-giving options like adoption can empower women to do what they feel is right. There are thousands of women in similar situations to mine. Many are far younger and more vulnerable than I was. I'm not here to condemn them or call them names or try to make them feel worse than they already do, but I do have a message. Consider adoption. Consider life. Consider carrying your baby to term and placing your unborn child with a caring, nurturing, happy family. You will survive this. You will make it through. And you absolutely 100% deserve all the happiness and love in the world. You're so much stronger than you know. You deserve a second chance at life, and your baby deserves a first chance. Life is precious, and so are you. Joy Villa is an iTunes, Amazon, and Billboard recording artist. Her release, Make America Great Again, hit number one on Amazon Music. You can find her at www.joyvilla.com. And before I came across this article, I did not realize that she was the vocalist for Make America Great Again. How great America again would be without abortion. It would just be really terrifically wonderful. And Dan and Donna Holman, that wonderful elderly couple who stand out there in front of Planned Parenthood and try to save babies, Dan says, Oklahoma State Representative Dan Fisher is running for governor on the promise of outlawing baby murder. We heartily support him. We believe he is sincere. So we hope and pray that something like that can happen, that some more people who have this mindset to save life will get into positions of power. And so there's also a cardiologist that, well, you might not have time to tell his whole story, but Dr. Armin Zanna was well-established in his career as a cardiologist. And this was Baltimore AP, and I believe this was January the 1st, 2018. He and his wife got this news that shook their high-achieving lives. The baby Denise was carrying, their third child, would be born with Down syndrome. Zanna's first reaction, he regretfully admits, was disappointment. He knew he'd probably never be able to share with his son the kind of intellectual back and forth he loves. Then the physician stepped back to glimpse a bigger picture. It took me a while to realize that I was being selfish to worry about my unfulfilled expectations instead of asking what the diagnosis would mean for his son's life. Zadeh, and that's spelled capital Z-A-D-E-H, writes in his new book, The Forgotten Art of Love, What Love Means and Why It Matters, published in December. So we'll talk about him a little bit more the next time, but there was no abortion there, and he talks about how he really came out ahead with that child later. So we thank you for listening to The Divided Kingdom, and please tell others about our program at WWCR.com, Thursday evenings, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and LWRN.net with the app on the iPhone, Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, and repeating 11 p.m. That's LWRN.net. Thank you, and God bless you.